You're tuned to WFHB
91.3
and 98.1 FM.
Volunteer powered,
listener supported.
Community radio for South Central Indiana.
Welcome to WFHB's Daily Local News.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers from the Bloomington community.
And supported by the generosity of listeners like you.
Good afternoon from the studios of Community Radio 91.3 FM, reporting live for WFHB. This is Carolyn Vandeweel.
And I'm Ron Bronson. This is the Daily Local News for Thursday, January 4th, 2018.
Bloomington Hospital site is one of our string of pearls of unique and exciting opportunities along the B-Line corridor.
The City of Bloomington will send $6.5 million to buy the Bloomington Hospital property on East 2nd Street. We'll have more on that story later in the program on today's Future Report.
And our weekly public opinion feature, Voices in the Street, will ask residents what they would like to see done with the 24-acre property after the hospital is torn down. That's coming up on the latest edition of Voices in the Street. But first, your daily headlines.
Bloomington Democratic State Representative Matt Pierce is filing legislation that would provide Indiana with a, quote, death with dignity law, end quote. Pierce says his proposal, which was announced today, would enable individuals with terminal illness to request voluntary euthanasia.
My goal in introducing House Bill 1157 is to start a conversation between legislators and their constituents about end-of-life issues, which are always difficult to discuss.
According to the press release from Representative Pierce's office, House Bill 1157 would allow an adult diagnosed with a terminal disease that will end the person's life within 6 months to request and receive medication that can be used to die in a, quote, peaceful, humane manner, end quote. The measure is based upon a law passed in Oregon in 1998. Four other states, Colorado, California, Vermont, and Washington, and the District of Columbia, have passed similar laws. Joining Pierce at the press conference early today was Corley Poland from Brownsburg, who suffers from ALS, more commonly known as Lou Gehrig's disease.
Timothy McVeigh, who killed 168 people and injured over 600 in the Oklahoma City bombing, was put to death compassionately in this state. Why did he get to die compassionately? Yet Indiana wants me to have a torturous death in front of my children and my sweetheart. I don't understand.
Pierce says his legislation would require a patient to request the medication on a written form signed by two disinterested witnesses who attest the patient is competent and acting voluntarily. The request would then be followed by a 15-day waiting period and a second written request for the prescription. A second doctor is required to confirm the diagnosis and that the patient is making a voluntary decision before a physician can prescribe the medication.
There are lots of safeguards built into the bill, and it's made very clear that it must be the decision of the patient and the patient must administer the medication.
Pierce says under House Bill 1157, patients would be informed of other available options, such as pain management and hospice care, and would be referred for counseling if depression or another disorder is impairing their judgment.
Monroe County property owners will save money this year on property tax payments, thanks to a new payment system. Monroe County Treasurer Jessica McClellan says Forte Payment Systems will provide an online platform similar to what the county has used in the past, but with lower fees. McClellan discussed the payment system with County Commissioner Julie Thomas in yesterday's Board of Commissioners meeting.
There's a huge benefit to the taxpayers in this new agreement with this new company. The interest rate on the credit cards is going from 2.95% to 2.45%. And they get the added benefit of when they use their bank card, a Visa debit card, they don't have to pay the interest rate. They pay a flat fee of $3.95. So we're very, very excited about that.
You're not talking really about an interest rate. You're talking about a processing charge, right?
Sorry, yes, yeah. A processing
okay.
charge.
I just want to make sure I understood. So they take other debit cards besides Visa. It's just that particular one, they mm-hmm. have a flat rate for mm-hmm. it. So all this, of course, will be on the website. When somebody goes in to look at their bill and to pay it, they'll see exactly what they'll be charged. And
yes. Mm-hmm.
And I like the fact that there's electronic check.
According to the county's website, property taxes are due in May and November. Property tax bills are mailed annually in April. The county's Community Corrections Department will also be saving money this year on electronic monitoring of offenders. Director Tom Rhodes reports contractor BI Incorporated agreed to reduce prices for both active GPS monitor and handheld alcohol detection units.
So our cost is going down 55 cents per day for both devices, and every little bit helps.
Rhodes said he was able to reduce the BI contract by $80,000 through negotiations.
It's a competitive market, and I said, hey, you know, if you want to keep our business, got to make us happy.
Later in the meeting, Commissioner Thomas discussed some of the local issues she anticipates county government will address in 2018. Thomas says she thinks the connection between county government and the county will be strengthened this year.
And in that light, working on developing a new zoning ordinance, which will require a lot of people coming together in 2018 to give their input. We have the Opioid Commission plus the new summit for 2018 that we're looking forward to. And of course, the bicentennial year celebrating Monroe County's history together. So I think we're going to have another year of making great connections with the community. And again, many, many thanks for to everyone for everything you do.
This year marks Monroe County's 200th year. Commissioner Patrick Stoffers announced the upcoming celebrations.
Monroe County Bicentennial Kickoff Celebration is Sunday, January 14th at 1 to 4 p.m. at the Monroe County Courthouse at 100 West Kirkwood Avenue here in Bloomington. Save the date and mark your calendar. On the day of Monroe County's founding, join us for an afternoon of history, music, food, and fun as we open the Monroe County Bicentennial Year. Presentations will include the presentation of the colors by the members of the Sons of the American Revolution, singing of the National Anthem by Rebecca Keith, historical perspectives by Cheryl Munson, Dr. James Madison, Charlotte Zitlow, Senator Mark Stoops, and early county families, and so much more.
The next commissioners' meeting is Wednesday, January 10th at 10 a.m.
The City of Bloomington's Commission on the Status of Women is seeking nominations for its annual award ceremonies. As WFHB correspondent Jonah Chester reports, the deadline to nominate an outstanding community member falls later this month.
The City of Bloomington Commission on the Status of Women is currently accepting nominations for its annual award ceremony. The commission is looking for nominations for its 2018 Woman of the Year Award, the Toby Strout Lifetime Contribution Award, and the Emerging Leader Award. The commission will be accepting nominations for these positions through January 19th.
We have had wonderful nominations in the past and have been really excited about the women that have won it. They have been amazing women contributing to our community and well-deserving. And so we're certainly expecting that again this year.
That was Jacqueline Furnett with the City of Bloomington Commission on the Status of Women. The 2018 Woman of the Year Award recognizes a woman who has improved the quality of life for other women in Bloomington by community service or professional accomplishments that go above and beyond normal job responsibilities. The Toby Strout Lifetime Achievement Award, named in honor of the former director of the Middleway House and former commissioner of the Bloomington Commission on the Status of Women, seeks to award a woman who has, quote, significantly advanced the status of women through leadership and service, end quote. The final honor, the Emerging Leader Award, recognizes a woman with less than 5 years of significant achievements and their potential for future contributions to the Bloomington community. The winner of the Emerging Leader Award will be honored at the Women's Leadership Development Event on March 8th at City Hall. The winners of the Woman of the Year Award and Toby Strout Lifetime Achievement Award will be honored at the Women's History Month lunch on March 21st at the Monroe County Convention Center.
It's easy to nominate a woman. There's a form online, we consider all the nominations that come in. So it's very easy if you know a deserving woman who has been a great volunteer in our community and worked to better the lives, particularly of women and girls.
Those nomination forms are available online at bloomington.in.gov or at the Community and Family Resources Office in City Hall. Reporting for WFHB, I'm Jonah Chester.
The next meeting of the Commission on the Status of Women is tonight at 5:30 in the Bloomington City Hall McCloskey Conference Room.
The City of Bloomington is urging residents to take precautions after six crews are working to thaw hundreds of water meters at homes and businesses in the area. South Central Indiana has been experiencing single-digit temperatures over the past couple of weeks. In a press release, the city recommends residents take precautions, like letting a faucet drip during frigid weather. They also recommend opening cabinets under sinks to allow warmer air to circulate around the plumbing, disconnecting any outdoor hoses, sealing off access doors, air vents, and cracks, and keeping garage doors closed. For questions and concerns related to frozen meters or water main breaks, please call the city's 24/7 dispatcher at 812-339-1444.
The City of Bloomington is also reminding residents that the Sanitation Department will collect live Christmas trees and wreaths through January 18th. Residents can place trees and wreaths at the curb of regular yard trash days. County residents will only have until January 13th to recycle their trees through the Solid Waste Management District. All five district recycling centers will accept holiday trees and wreaths. Just remember to remove all lights and decorations. The trees and wreaths do not need to be bagged.
Today, officially, is WFHB Day in Monroe County and WFHB Community Radio Day in the City of Bloomington. Both the county and the city signed proclamations recognizing this station's 25th anniversary. WFHB first began transmitting at 91.3 FM on Monday, January 4th, 1993. Monroe County Commissioner introduced the measure during yesterday's County Commissioners meeting. Commissioner Julie Thomas cited WFHB's volunteer public affairs programming in reading the proclamation.
WFHB provides an open forum to celebrate and increase the local cultural diversity. WFHB is committed to civil discourse and expanded community conversations, as evidenced by public affairs programming, which includes Eco Report, Blooming Out, Bring It On, Interchange, Voices in the Street, and Kiteline. All programs created and produced by dedicated volunteers.
Bloomington Mayor John Hamilton cited WFHB's award-winning programming while reading from the city's proclamation.
And whereas in the past 10 years, the WFHB News Department has received 71 awards, including 28 first-place awards, from the Society of Professional Journalists for Excellence in News Reporting. And whereas station volunteers have gained valuable experience that have led to professional careers in broadcasting and other media professions. And whereas on Thursday, June 4th, 2018, WFHB celebrates 25 years of quality broadcasting. Now, therefore, I, John Hamilton, Mayor of the City of Bloomington, do hereby proclaim January 4, 2018, as WFHB Community Radio Day in Bloomington, Indiana.
Both proclamations from the city and the county acknowledge the efforts of hundreds of volunteers in maintaining programming for over 25 years. Reporting live for WFHB, I'm Carolyn Vandeweel.
And I'm Ron Bronson. Support for WFHB is provided by attorneys Eric Slotograph and Ben Neoff. Slotograph Neoff is located at 200 East 3rd Street in downtown Bloomington, assisting families and small businesses in meeting the legal challenges of life, providing estate planning and wills, as well as family law services. More information is available at 812-332-6000 or online at slotographlegal.com. Slotograph Neoff, law for business, community, and life.
On Wednesday morning, Bloomington Mayor John Hamilton announced to a room of reporters, politicians, and residents that the city will buy the 24 acres of the current Bloomington Hospital at a discounted rate. Although Hamilton says the city will pay $6.5 million for the current site, a purchase agreement with IU Health is expected in February. While there are currently no plans as what to do with the demolished hospital grounds, Hamilton says the community will have a chance to weigh in. Here, in part, is the mayor's announcement.
Today, we're embarking on a new chapter here in Bloomington. In less than 2 weeks, we will gather to break ground on the largest single economic development investment in our city, with the new $400-plus million state-of-the-art regional academic health center to be built on the city's east side. More on that in 2 weeks. Today, we're talking about the current site, a keystone of our community since 1905.
First, I want to thank the members of the Hospital Reuse Committee, which was established in 2015 and led by Senator Vi Simpson and included dozens of community representatives, some of you here in the room today, who studied the site, other communities, and heard from the public, considered options for the site. The work of that committee has been invaluable in bringing the discussions on the future of this site to this point. I also want to thank the leadership of IU Health here in town, Matt Bailey, you and your colleagues, as well as those from Indianapolis, as we've collaborated for months to explore options and mutual benefits for our community in connection with the current hospital site. I want to thank our city staff, led by Deputy Mayor Mick Renison, and including Philippa Guthrie, Mary Catherine Carmichael, and several others who've worked very hard over the last few months. It's important also to note, as I will briefly, that the current Bloomington Hospital site is one of our string of pearls of unique and exciting opportunities along the B-Line corridor that also include the Trades District, the Convention Center, and Switchyard Park, all of which should see major progress in 2018. The synergies among these four locations should not be underestimated. Today, we have an exciting announcement about a new beginning for the current site of IU Health. IU Health and the City of Bloomington have signed a letter of intent for IU Health to sell their entire 24 acres of the current site at a deep discount to the City of Bloomington to lead future redevelopment. This is a letter of intent and depends upon successful relocation of IU Health to the new facility and approval of all appropriate bodies, particularly the Redevelopment Commission for the city, which is responsible for investing TIF, tax increment funds, finance funds for such a project. A formal purchase agreement is expected in February. The property, and you see a map of it here, parcels noted outlined in black, A, B, C, and D. The property is to be delivered by IU Health in clean, developable condition, is presently appraised at approximately $16 million. The purchase price agreed upon is $6.5 million, reflecting a deep discount offered by IU Health to support the community's opportunity to redevelop this core property so close to downtown and the convention center and the B-Line. By making this agreement at this time, our community has the advantage of time to study various options, gather more public input, and plan for the next use of this clean site. The site will be available, we expect, in 2021, giving ample time to add to the work that has already been done by the Hospital Reuse Committee. I believe strongly that our community, our entire community, should have the chance to comment on the next use of this land. I don't know the last time we had 24 acres of land available for reimagination, so close to the heart of our town, for our community to envision what investors and community institutions might do for the next generations. To that end, the Urban Land Institute, a preeminent national nonprofit resource, will be engaged to provide advice and recommendations based on public input, a thorough study of the site, and best practices in early April this year. The chairs of the current Hospital Reuse Committee will be re-engaged in advance of that process with the ULI. And after the April ULI process, Urban Land Institute, we will outline additional major public processes to further our collective community interests. 24 acres to imagine for future generations. This is an extraordinary opportunity for our community. It offers us the chance to create a new hub in the heart of downtown. In this bicentennial year, it offers us the chance together to create opportunity for generations of future Bloomingtonians to live and work and play
to do something that folks in the future will look back and appreciate. It is a challenge that I know our community is up for, and I appreciate sincerely the collaboration with IU Health in making this possible.
Bloomington Mayor John Hamilton, speaking at a press conference yesterday morning, announcing that the city will purchase the 24 acres of the current Bloomington Hospital for redevelopment from IU Health.
Support for the WFHB Daily Local News comes from MPI Solar, a Bloomington business specializing in solar hot water, solar electricity, and solar hot air systems. MPI Solar designs and installs solar power generation systems that encourage independent and individual responsibility. Found locally at 812-334-4003 and on the web at mpisolarenergy.com.
And up next, our weekly public opinion segment, Voices in the Street.
Welcome to Voices in the Street, WFHB's weekly public opinion feature. Voices in the Street provides an opportunity for people in our community to share their opinions and perspectives on the issues and events that matter most to Bloomington residents.
This week on Voices in the Street, what should replace the hospital on 2nd Street? The City of Bloomington and IU Health have signed a letter of intent to purchase the current location of the hospital on 2nd Street. According to Mayor Hamilton, the city intends to purchase the entire 24 acres. The mayor also believes that the community should have a chance to comment on the future use of the land. The agreement specifies that IU Health will demolish the facilities of the current hospital. Voices in the Street has asked Bloomington citizens what they would like to see instead of the old hospital.
You know, I don't have an answer for that. Let me ask my friend. No, I really don't have an answer for that.
Okay, that's fine.
The only thing I can say is that I don't think there should be any more high-rise buildings. I just feel that way. I think it's we're losing the character of the town.
Definitely not more apartments.
Not more apartments.
There's just been popping up all over. The apartment complexes are everywhere.
Okay, is there something else you'd prefer to see going there, like a park? Or?
I would say like a dog park would be cool to have one actually in town.
What about you? You have a strong opinion on the matter?
I mean, you could just like take it down and maybe like just let some...
Sorry,
it's okay. It's okay. Just like let it, let's just let some things grow. I don't know.
Oh gosh. I just moved here, so I feel like I don't know what the city needs. But if they're taking away a health facility, I would hope that it would be something that could benefit the people in the same capacity.
Wow, we're going in such a green space trend. It would be kind of cool, but I don't know that we're doing the Rails to Trails Park, right? The Switchyard Park. So,
yeah.
That's an excellent question. Maybe an indoor park for kids.
I like that. How about you, sir? You have any strong opinions?
Honestly, I don't have any strong opinions. I mean, that'd be a good one. I don't know if they're looking to bring any like of the healthcare, you know, training from Indianapolis down to Bloomington. Maybe some of that too. I don't know.
Well, personally, I think we need another apartment complex. No, maybe a park would be good.
Park? Okay. How about you, sir?
Yeah, I think I agree on parks. Definitely could use more parks.
Maybe like some sort of turf soccer field or some sort of multi-purpose field for recreational activities.
I don't know. Like, there's no good answer. We don't want shopping, we don't want food, and we don't want a bank. No. No shopping, no food, no bank. We need something for families. Because right now it's so cold, there's really not a whole lot that you can do with your kids during the day, except for maybe just go ice skating, and when you're trying to find something warm to do, that's not a great option.
All right,
yeah, well, something for families to have fun.
That's a very good question, and I really don't know the answer to it.
It's
not very exciting. I've seen it. It's been in the paper for quite a while, and I don't know what, you know, what might be good is to look at other cities and see what they've done, you know, but that's the best answer that I've got.
I think a multiple-use facility would be nice. I mean, incorporating some low-income housing and some middle-income housing and maybe some shops. And, the more diverse we can get with that property, because it is a large property, So I think the more diverse we could get it, the better it is for that whole area. And yes, definitely some green space.
This has been Voices in the Street, WFHB's weekly public opinion segment, featuring candid commentary from your friends and neighbors on the issues and events that matter most to Bloomington residents. Voices in the Street is a volunteer-powered production of our News and Public Affairs Department here on WFHB 91.3 and 98.1 FM, community radio for South Central Indiana.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB. Today's headlines were written by Jonah Chester, Wes Martin, and Sarah Vaughn in partnership with Cats Week from Community Access Television Services. Our feature was produced by Wes Martin.
Voices in the Street was produced by Barbara Von Provosky. Our engineer today is Wes Martin. Our theme music is provided by The Impossible Shapes. Executive producer, Wes Martin. For WFHB, this is Ron Bronson.
And I'm Carolyn Vandeweel. Thanks for supporting 25 years of Indiana's only volunteer-powered independent daily news program.
Stay tuned for the first episode of Big Talk with Michael Glab, coming up next on WFHB.
The Daily Local News is produced by a staff of over 50 volunteers
working in the WFHB News and Public Affairs Department.
Comments, suggestions, and story ideas
may be submitted directly to our news staff via email.
The address is news@wfhb.org.